Welcome to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. I'm Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of Finstrat Management. At Finstrat, we provide CFO-led accounting, finance, and reporting services to assist clients monetize their business. Stick around to the end of the podcast, and I'll share how you can be our next guest. Now, on to the show.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Innovators and Investors Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of Finstrat Management. Really excited because with us today, we have Jackie DeMarco, CEO of Image X-Ray, and Steve DeMarco, president of Image X-Ray. Jackie, Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Thank you.
Excellent. So why don't we start with Image X-Ray? You know, I'd love to hear what problem you guys are solving in the market.
Image X-Ray has developing, including obtaining FDA approval and some patents around a small system, ultra low dose radiation imaging X-ray system, specifically designed to diagnose and direct the treatment of dysphagia, which is swallowing disorder. The long and the short of it is that during the COVID years, our team recognized a great need, and that was that with limitations on clients or patients' ability to get into the radiological suite of the hospital, and also the image-based, the mobile imaging van-based companies being excluded from access to skilled nursing facilities where the majority of patients that suffer from dysphagia live, we needed to come up with a solution around this significant problem. Essentially, what we've done is taken the last of the 10 primary disciplines of X-ray imaging and moved from an analog environment to a digital environment. And in doing so, greatly reduce the amount of energy that's required to string together a bunch of still images up to 36 per second to create a video. If you might remember when we were kids, we'd draw stick men on a pile of paper and move them slightly. And as you roll through with your fingers, you'd see the image move. Well, that's what video fluoroscopy really is. What we've learned here in developing this better mousetrap is that with the digital capability, we can do this testing with like 80 watts of energy versus the 3,000 plus watts of energy that a patient is subjected to in a hospital setting. The interest that we have in this is to develop a new industry of X-ray imaging equipment buyers. Right now, skilled nursing facilities don't own X-ray equipment. You know, one of the reasons that we believe that the skilled nursing facility industry will have an interest in our equipment is that it will create new revenue streams for them, and that they will be able to receive reimbursement for performing this testing in their facilities. The modified barium swallow study is the most Medicare reimbursed procedure that exists in the country. There are something like 1.5 million. I don't know.
It's a million and a half
tests done every year. And depending on the geography and the professionals that are required by state regulation to be involved, the reimbursement can total anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000. But the interesting thing is, you know, as opposed to the mounted to the floor, analog, a tube technology type stuff that exists in the hospital's radiation laboratory that truly can do other things and do high density bone material and such, and then is adapted to do the modified barium swallow study. Our equipment is relatively inexpensive to produce and therefore own and operate. Frankly, in educational environments where we've demoed this equipment, the speech-language pathologists get excited because they're empowered with our equipment and the software that drives and tests the client and provides the SLP with diagnosis and ratings on each of the 7 or 17 or so areas that they're looking at in physical process of swallowing. It gives them a clear picture without having to wait for a radiological read. And a radiological read is often required in a form of Medicare reimbursement.
So let me, if I may, so said another way, that there is a financial and clinical benefit to more quickly diagnosing dysphagia, because there's a potential to lead to mortality, pneumonia being example, particularly I'd imagine given who the cohort is, whether, as you point out, they have COVID because of the pandemic, but perhaps more relevant would be elderly patients. Did I get it right?
Correct. And interestingly enough, you know, when people have dementia and Alzheimer's, they usually die because of they can't eat. So that's a bigger problem than, you know, the dementia itself.
So that makes great sense. So let me, a whole bunch of questions to ask. Let's just start with, why image X-ray? What was the genesis behind the idea that you decided to pursue this business?
Well, actually, one of our founders, who's a friend of ours, came to us, who is sick with cancer, and he happened to be a lifelong imaging engineer. And he came to the two of us because he's like, you know, I know I'm really sick, but as I'm going through this, I've come up with this idea. And we ran with it. Not only did we patent it, but we brought it to some experts in Chicago. The experts that study dysphagia, we talked to them about the idea, and they were like, absolutely, we need this. How soon can you produce it? And then from that point, what we did was we designed it, and then we went through the very long FDA approval process, which takes a lot of patience, which Steve and I really don't have. But we had to learn, and we got it approved and patented. Our first device actually was quite ugly and was very heavy. We realized it really wasn't portable. And what makes our device so special is that you could bring it anywhere. You could bring it to a patient's room. You can bring it to their home. You know, it's so much easier to use. You plug it in the wall, and that ultra low dose radiation is an absolute game changer. So much so that when we were showing the device to Northwestern University, they said, hey, can you come up with something for babies? And we're like, let's see. And during the FDA process, they said, okay, you can use it on babies aged 4 weeks and older. So they requested a separate type of a device with some tweaks and some software and those kinds of things that be used. So we're going to have two different devices, one for the Image X-ray Pro, which is for adults, and the Image X-ray Pro PediaScan for infants and children.
And so I'm curious, either of you have a manufacturing or hardware background prior to starting the business?
Nope, we don't. I have an entrepreneurial background. I started my first business when I was 17 to put myself through college. I learned very quickly what needed to be done for this.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of times when I find myself in conversation with entrepreneurs, they're intimidated by hardware because of the manufacturing aspect. Now, without revealing any trade secrets, you know, if you could unpack for us, you know, the process of, you know, creating a prototype and then, you know, thinking about, you know, how you're going to go to production at scale. You know, any insights that you can share with our audience is to kind of, I don't know, demystify is probably not the right word, because I'm sure it's all a lot of work, but you know,
what I'd love to tell you it's a big mystery and it was really hard. It wasn't. to create the prototype, we found a machine shop that had worked with one of our business processes, one of our engineers in the past building industrial X-ray equipment. Brought to him a sketch of a positioning system that we thought would be suitable to hold our proprietary C-arm and its components, and let them run with it from a CAD and a mechanical engineering standpoint. And what I'll tell you, I mean, the first prototype, as Jackie had said, came out and didn't live to the brand promise of being portable. It weighed 450 pounds and would take an army of people to lift it into the back of a van to transport it to a location. It would take considerable force to move, even though it was on wheels. And then the process became, how do we improve upon this initial design here to make it live up to this brand promise of portability? Now, we have a great luxury. We can outsource the production of this manufacturing now that we have this approved recipe, if you will, to a shop that is already FDA compliant. And that is one of the business problems we're working on currently is finding the suitable FDA approved manufacturing organization. We're fortunate in that we've got a lot of the IP locked down via patent and having this runway of this F10K clearance that's granted by the FDA to be able to market, manufacture, and commercialize the unit. So now it's a matter of finding a partner to either under contract or by license build our approved unit and position it for sale.
And can you give us some insight into finding the partner? Is it really just because you want to make sure the fit's there, or are there unique considerations for the product that
is? Well, it is it's a relationship business, right? And so the process enables a get to know and what kind of capability do you already have. Now, we're natives of Chicagoland. Radiological Society of North America is headquartered in Chicago. And it just so happens there's a whole lot of FDA compliant manufacturers in Chicago. And they're very interested in this. As far as we're concerned, what we would like when we ultimately choose a partner is that they be in the position to distribute and service, maintain the equipment. Though our machine is pretty much hands-off, there'll be occasions if it gets smashed into the wall or something like that, that we'll have to come out and bolt on a replacement X-ray source or a flat panel. But these items are manufactured by other companies and readily available off the shelf.
Okay. Who's your ideal customer profile? I know I heard skilled nursing facilities, but do you find it's more smaller independent regionals or larger national chains?
What's interesting is, we had this great marketing plan. We thought everything out. And then when we brought, in one of your podcasts, you mentioned about listening, I hear it over and over again, listen to your customers. Well, we were trying to do a feasibility study, and we brought we literally wheeled the product into several universities, and they're like, well, we want this. And by the way, call our other customer or call our other friends that study dysphagia in the state of Illinois. There's University of Illinois. Go to the University of Chicago. Go up to the University of Wisconsin. So we're actually going after a little bit of the lower hanging fruit. These customers want the product. And they are, these universities are teaching medical school students, they're teaching future doctors, they're these speech language pathologists or SLPs, they're going to be learning the mechanism of swallowing from our device.
What we didn't know, and what we were operating on a false premise, is that we wouldn't be able to sell to universities, especially universities that had hospital affiliations, because of the contracts that exist from the major x-ray supply companies. We thought we would be instantly excluded from this marketplace. And all of a sudden, we're finding out that these educational operations have research clinics operating in on their premises in the educational environment. And there's also been a demand for our unit in a classroom environment. And in this way, because we emit such little radiation, you could sit down in front of a classroom and say, okay, turn it on, watch how this works.
And that's it. I mean, it's amazing. Let me ask. So for our listeners who aren't as familiar with healthcare, it's a conservative industry. You've referenced FDA compliance. You know, there's no shortage of regulations that you know, vendors in the space have to contend with. Can you relate your experience with us? You know, especially now, as you know, you've seen demand. But I imagine that their procurement offices are throwing a whole host of paperwork at you. How have you been dealing with that?
Well, the application that was submitted along with the prototype was 1,800 pages, and it reads like you would expect it to read, a highly technical document. We didn't create that. We hired the right consultants to produce that, and that is actually a requirement of the process then, that ultimately you are proceeding with the FDA with somebody who has experience in making these kind of submittals. And so what I would tell you is it was as difficult as finding the right people. And this was a one and done thing for us. So we had the right people. Now the process took 9 months, I think, from you know, the initial creation to the actual approval, and a significant investment in experts' time. But the real trick to FDA compliance is what happens next as we modify the equipment. You know, FDA approval is really like a filing cabinet, okay? That as things are used, as adaptations are made, that the testing that's done on the improvements is documented and retained and available for inspection, if you will, from the compliance police. And so as we seek manufacturers here, we're going to want partners that have a demonstrated ability to remain in compliance with the FDA over the run of production in equipment. So I have to tell you, even before there was any talk of significant deregulation on a national scale, we found a welcoming FDA, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then even going over into the patent space, as we were seeking ways to protect the IP around our idea and this new marketplace that we intended to solely sell this equipment, obtaining a patent, we were told initially, was not going to happen. And in fact, got after three or four conversations, that went down the pipeline like that, we found the right patent attorney who said, oh, no, it's absolutely appropriate, and we think we can obtain it for you. And
which is another thing I want to add on as an entrepreneur, and you know, it's a mindset of, you know, is this going to be a daunting task, or is it going to be fun to do? And, you know, we found the right person at the FDA, we found the right people, but we also took advantage of things like SCORE. We have a mentor that is a former CEO of a medical device company, and he's retired, and he's like, you know, how can I help? He meets with us every week. We're going to actually meet with him tomorrow. The SBA, you know, we're in Florida. The SBA in Florida, in South Florida, at the Florida Gulf Coast University, has bent over backwards for Great. Us. They're like, how can we help you? You know, how can we help you get loans? How can we get you in front of investors? And so it's really, if you're not afraid to ask, people have been so welcoming and kind. It is just, it's been truly a pleasure. And we're so excited because our medical device is going to be life-changing for many, many people. And now as we're entering into something that's, you know, for babies, I mean, how many, we're going to change lives of babies. That can't swallow. There's a lot of, I'm so surprised the number of children, more than 50% of children have problems swallowing sometime in their life. So it's really exciting. And just, you know, if you've got the right mindset, it's and you're going to make it happen, it's going to happen.
So I would say the biggest obstacles have been old thinking. Right.
Yeah.
And then even having close teammates that were under impressions that were misformed and between Jackie and I asking the right questions of the right experts to kind of move through that old thing. Relying on people's great, but if you over rely on the wrong people, you might find yourself dead in the water.
And what are some of those misimpressions that come to mind?
The biggest one was the patent, is that they're like, nope, you know, you can't patent this. Because the modified barium swallow study is the, you know, one of the most, if not the most, you know,
Medicare,
and there's no way that this is going to happen.
And there's nothing new necessarily about a C-arm based imaging chain. Yes. But there is something very novel about a ultra low dose C-arm positioned device specifically designed to do portable modified barium swallow studies. And so that kind of carves out this space for us and gives us a little bit of time to not worry about all the big guys coming into the business. Another interesting thing that we learned here is that, you know, this is a function of the United States' economy. All the big equipment manufacturers have moved beyond innovative technology into maintaining and having service contracts on the equipment that they envisioned and is now 25, 30 years old. And they don't employ legions of young engineers that are out there doing R&D, finding the next equipment. And so that was kind of an interesting eye-opener. You know, as people would ask us, what gives you the right to do this? How come Philips or Siemens or GE isn't, how come they haven't beat you to the market? That's just really interesting. You know, we're the quintessential industry outsiders, and it's coming in and learning this kind of perspective was like, oh, you guys really aren't innovators. And then that's good for both of us because it puts the need for your services and ours in play because they don't have this capability. They don't have teams of engineers in an office place. Musing new markets.
I mean, that's great market insight, because I'm sure there's a belief that that's not the case. And so to hear you share your experience, really encouraging. Before we wrap up, one of the questions I love to ask all of our guests is if you had an opportunity to go back and have a conversation with your younger self, what would you share?
That's a good one. And I think what I would say to myself is to think bigger. Because my first business was, I was had a little coffee shop before Starbucks was a thing. I think I was 22 at the time, and I didn't. Starbucks was coming in, and I had two shops, and I'm like, actually, somebody said to me, they're like, well, you know, you can't do this anymore. The Chamber of Commerce said, you know, we're having Starbucks come in, and it was totally deflating of my spirit. So I'm going to tell the younger Jackie to think big and do not take no for an answer.
I love it. Good stuff. Steve?
Yeah.
I'll say almost the same thing, but in a little different format. First of all, most of life's biggest problems, knock on wood, all the things that kept me awake as a father and as a provider didn't occur. And so I would say play in the major leagues, play big ball. And when building a plan and attracting a team, and it takes a team, play 10X. Build as if you're a big boy, so that you're not lost trying to play catch up when it's time to accelerate.
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, this conversation, I found myself in this conversation a bunch, and adopting a belief that sky's the limit, and then going for it. You know, what's the expression? Even if you were to shoot for the stars and hit the moon, hey, that's still wild success.
Obviously.
Yes.
If any of our
the last thing, I do think it's important to mention, and I touched on it with team, it's okay that you can't do everything and that you're not an expert in everything. You know, as Jack and I just told you, we've come from a very different world in the device technology industry. And it's okay to find a network with the smartest people in the room to do the things that you can't do or that you don't want to do. That your time is not best spent doing. So surround yourself with capable people, and the sky really is the limit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really wise insight. I would tell you my experiences would validate that. You know, knowing your strengths, but also where you're not as strong as maybe you should be is great, because then you can go surround yourself with people who are. If any of our listeners would like to get a hold of you, how can they find you?
You can find us on our website, which is www.imagex-ray.com, or email us at info@imagex-ray.com.
Fantastic. Jackie DeMarco, Steve DeMarco, CEO and President of Image X-Ray, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast.
Thanks for the opportunity. Nice to be with you.
My pleasure. And again, I'm your host, Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of FinStrat Management. Thank you.
Christian Marquez here. Thank you so much for listening to the Innovators and Investors podcast. If you're a successful founder or an investor, would like to be on the podcast, please visit podcast.finstratmgmt.com. If you know someone that would be a great guest, please tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Innovators and Investors. I'd love to see your posts and suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you catch each new episode, please subscribe to the Innovators and Investors podcast. And your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. Would you like to know more? Go to our website, finstratmgmt.com, or follow us on LinkedIn or on X. Our handle is @finstratmgmt. This is Christian Marquez. Thank you for listening. Until next time.